chapter 15 in the Gospel of John. Last time I was up here, we looked at chapter 15. The topic was that we were chosen to be slaves, and then as we were slaves of Christ, he elevated us to friendship, and that's in concordance that we are doing what he tells us to do. As I continue to read into chapter 15 there, I thought it would be kind of good to see what else our Lord Jesus Christ says there. Today we're going to see how the Trinity unfolds to us our function as individual witnesses and as corporate witness as the body of Christ. So I kind of had a long introduction before we actually read the verses, but so now we understand that the New Testament presents the church as a living organism, an organism called the body of Christ. Christ is the head, and we are the members of his body. We are one body, with Christ as the head. Ted spoke a few weeks back on the spiritual gifts, and he read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And when you read this passage, you can see three key focuses factoring on the body, the church body, which is unity, diversity, and harmony. The body is one, and at the same time, in the body of Christ, there are many. And many gifts that minister to each other, making it a greater oneness. This church body functions on humility because individuals don't think of themselves as better than somebody else. We also esteem others as better as oneself, which is having the mind of Christ. So we operate on humility, but are distinguished by love. Our church body is characterized by the ruling power of love, and we are to minister to one another in the body, the spiritual gifts to one another, as described in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 4. The body, the church body, is what our triune God uses to accomplish his will. We gather together so we can be edified, so when we go out in the world, we can be a witness of Jesus Christ. And we can communicate the strong message of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Here's kind of a Reader's Digest version of a systematic theology of the body, or as we say in a nutshell. In the beginning, God created man in his image. To communicate to man by this image, when Jesus came in the flesh, it was God in the flesh in one body. In Hebrews 1:3 it says, "He is the radiance of the glory of God, and the exact imprint of his nature." Jesus is the image of God, but Jesus' physical body is no longer seen. So Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to bring in existence a new body, not the one physical body, but the many bodies making up the church. And in the church, Christ continues to dwell through the indwelling Spirit. So Christ is in the body of the church, manifesting his glory and all his attributes, just as he did in the physical human body on earth during his earthly ministry. When Jesus was here physically, he manifested the glory of God, his wisdom, power, holiness, and love. In this new body called the church, the same thing should be seen. For we are the body of Christ, and we are to manifest Jesus Christ. To summarize Ephesians chapter 4, we, the church, are the members of the same body. Everyone who knows Christ, that is, and we are to come in unity of faith of the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and all its fullness. To become the body like Christ, because we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we are the manifestation of Jesus Christ. We as individuals reveal the invisible Christ, and all of us together as a church manifest the body of Christ. And through the church body, unified in faith, reveals the mighty, victorious power of the person of Jesus Christ to the world. That is why we are called to be mature and edified and taught and built up, that we would be an effective witness to the world. We are to be a witness, We are to be a witness as individuals and as a group. We have diverse gifts to edify the body and for its maturity, and as the body ministers to itself with the gifts of the Spirit, the more we minister to each other, the more we become one. And the more we become one, the world will see that Jesus Christ is from God. Every Christian is a witness. Jesus says in Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness." And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new one has come. All this is from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. If you have been reconciled to God, you now can communicate that Christ reconciled the world to himself to other people." And if you read in verse 20, Paul continues with, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God." Every born-again believer has the ministry of reconciliation. You have no excuse. Every Christian is a witness to bring others to Christ. As individual members, we are to be edified to be a witness for Christ. Our goal as a church is to reveal to the world that God sent Christ. John 15:26-27 is our now verse. So that was my long introduction. So the scripture of the day, John 15:26-27. "When the Helper comes, whom I send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning." It is amazing what is said in these two verses. First of all, what is a witness? For it's a legal term. Has anybody gone to court? Been sued? Been on trial? If not, you're probably familiar with Matlock or whatever TV program you watch that involves a court case. I know one of my favorites is To Kill a Mockingbird. It's a great court case. But you are familiar with lawyers, prosecutors, and defense lawyers, and how they all call witnesses to prove their case. Well, there's a huge court case going on right now that we're involved in. Our everyday life, we're a witness. And we are called to be that witness. For Jesus is on trial, and the world around us is the judge. Who is the defense attorney? The Holy Ghost. Who is the persecuting attorney? Satan. We are both a witness as individual and as a church body. Individually, you have heard accusations regarding Jesus Christ and his word. The world's opinion is godless, and it is judging Jesus and his word constantly. Unfortunately, they get some of these opinions based on witnesses. Some say he is a good teacher, some a liar, some to be fake, some are blatant, and some are accusations are subtle. Satan is the prosecutor who accuses Jesus and the witnesses with lies and false accusations. Although, if you live a life that is contrary to the lordship of Christ, if your life tears down the claims of Jesus, it would be better if you would not be in the courthouse confusing the issue. John 15:26, again, if you go back, says, "When the Helper comes," your translation might say the Comforter comes. The Greek word here is parakletos, and it translates the Comforter. As the definition of the word, of the Greek word, I'll read it to you here. It says, it's translated Comforter four times, an advocate once, summoned, called to one's side, especially called to one's aid. One who pleads another cause before a judge, a pleader, counsel for defense, legal assistance, an advocate, one who pleads another cause with one, an intercessor. The Holy Spirit is called alongside to help you in your defense, in the defense of defending Christ, and calling you as an individual member of the body to be a witness of the testimony of Jesus. Here again, we don't choose to be a witness. We only choose if we're going to help the cause or hinder it. Because you are a witness, it is whether you are a good witness or a bad witness. So we are a witness individually, but what could we do if there were more than one? And I kind of remember the court case on TV. I think it's the miracle on 34th Street. Remember at the end? I think it's that one where all the letters came in the case. Us as members, if we all got together, if letters can do it, we can do it. Could you imagine the impact the United Church of Christ would have on this world? If you could name just any church, any denomination, and I was trying to think, if I could think of a church, a pastor, any denomination that would represent just Jesus Christ. If you think of that church and says that's all they represent is Jesus Christ, and Him was sent by God. Is it the witness of Jesus Christ that you can think of? I think of good ministries and stuff like that, but is that the main focus of the church? In my opinion, kind of the organized church, the testimony would be more like the Corinthians, full of strife and division and confusion and carnality. And that is what the world sees as a testimony, individually and corporately. So the question is, what is an effective witness? What are we to witness to? If you go back to John 15, starting with verse 18, the context is the world. Now, there are different definitions of the world when you read Scripture. There's the created world. There's the world that God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son. But in the context of this, this is the bad world. Jesus is saying in verse 18, it says, if the world hates you, now know that it has hated Me before it hated you. Jesus is talking about this hateful, antagonistic, despising world. And how can we understand what our witness is if we don't understand what the world is? This world, that, in this context, is the one that's ruled by Satan. John 12:31 says, now is the judgment of the world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out? And John 14:30, and this is Jesus speaking, says, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. Ephesians 2:2, in which you once walked following the course of this world, following the prince of the powers of the air and the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. So this world we are talking about is under the power of Satan, and it is passing away. But while it lasts, it is hostile towards the church. It hates the church so much, and it's very bitter. This world we are talking about, the one run by Satan, is full of hate. If you go back to verse 18, it says, if the world hates you, know that it has hated Me before it hated you. And then verse 19 says, if you were of the world, the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And then verse 21, but all these things will do to you on account of My name, because they do not know Him who sent Me. That's basically saying, Jesus is saying, is that you're going to get hurt. 15:24 says, if I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both Me and My Father. Verse 25, but the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated Me without a cause. And if you continue, John 16:2, they will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. So when you read back in 15:26 and 27, it's right in the middle of the world hates you. So in the context here, 26 and 27 says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." So in this context of a bitter, hateful world, hostile towards Christ, we are to be a witness to the world. We are to be a witness to the world who hates, shuns, lies, deceives, destroys, and is hostile, devilish, Christ-hating world. But even though the world does all of this, Jesus says, when the Comforter comes, you will be a witness to the world. How do you handle all the opposition of the world? You are to bravely go before and be a witness, no matter what the cost may be, and count it all joy to suffer for Christ. So the witnessing is to the world, and the witnessing is of Jesus Christ. John 16:26 again. "But when the Helper comes, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." The witnessing is about Jesus Christ. Our testimony is to the Son of God. The world's focus is on the hatred of Jesus Christ. For Jesus says, "They hated me without a cause." When you go through Acts, the preaching is always about Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, any preaching, testimony in the New Testament is always about Jesus Christ. John makes the point in Revelation 1:2, says, "Who bore witness to the world of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ." Revelation 12:17 says, "Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus." And Revelation 19:10, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." The testimony of Jesus Christ is even found in the Old Testament prophecies. The apostle knew this. Jesus told them before and after his death that they were to be his witnesses. Acts 1:8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." Just listen to Peter preaching in Acts 10:34-43. This is a great preach. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right and acceptable to him. As for the world that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, for he is Lord of all, you yourself know what happened through all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism and John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." It's all about Jesus. Witnessing to a friend isn't saying you go to church. A witness is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Witnessing is not a discussion on different religions, what kind of church you go to, and it's not a discussion about ourselves. It's about Jesus. Back to 15:26. "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he bears witness about me." Christian witnessing is also by the Father. Jesus sends the Spirit, who proceeds from the Father, and bore the Father's testimony to the world. Our Heavenly Father is the greatest witness of Jesus Christ. The Father wants to bring honor to the Son. See if you can follow me on these verses. John 8:54, Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me. John 15:31. If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not deemed true. John 5:32. There is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears is about me is true. And in John 5:36, but the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. The Father bore witness of the Son through the Old Testament. John 5:39 says, Jesus says, you search the Scripture because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. John 10:25. Jesus answers them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. The Father bore witness to his Son by enabling him to do miracles. The miracles that Jesus performed were the Father's witness that he was who he claimed to be. And of course, you also know the verbal witness of the Father of Jesus' baptism in Matthew 3:15 says, And behold, a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Now I'll go back to John verse 26, which Jesus is saying that my Father is my main witness. He is the one who is trying to communicate to you who I am. And I am sending you the Spirit who proceeds from the Father to carry this witness and to be established in you. So a witness is supporting our Heavenly Father's testimony of the Son to the world. As a Christian, we witness through the Spirit. Says in verse 26, But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Which is saying, the Spirit only bears the Father's testimony, which is to testify of Jesus Christ. To paraphrase, Christian witnesses to the world about Jesus by the Father through the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit who powered Christ empowers us to be a true witness. There is no true witnessing without the Holy Spirit. Now that word paraclete, comforter, means one that comes alongside to help, to give advice. The Holy Spirit is Jesus' defense lawyer. And the world is judging him. The Holy Spirit is defending him, and the Holy Spirit calls us to be a witness and to testify in court. Verse 26 says that the Spirit of truth, letting us know what kind of testimony is being given. It is always the truth. He can't lie. He cannot bear false witness. His testimony is always, always true. And according to verse 27, it says, You also shall bear witness. And that's a special reference to the disciples, but it also includes us, for we know in John 14:17 says, Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells within you, and he will be in you. Or he dwells with you, and he will be in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. If you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Every true believer is indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong in him, with him, but to him. So individually, we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit speaks through us the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's what happened in Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So as a believer, you are qualified to be a witness because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. And if the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you, that would mean you have experienced Jesus Christ firsthand. A witness is someone who has experienced, has heard it, has felt it, has saw it, has seen it. They were there. 1 John 1:1 says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life." That is a witness. You don't have to have a doctorate in theology. You don't have to be able to explain transubstantiation and anthropomorphic nuances and the eloquent in speech. All you have to say is, "Yep, I met Jesus," and you qualify. Having a first-hand experience with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or as we say, being born again, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, which empowers you to be a witness of Jesus Christ. I want to talk about Jesus Christ, who I have seen and heard, and has changed my life. This is to say that this kind of witness is more precious to you than your own life. Interesting fact is that, did you know that the word martyr in the Greek is martus, which means to witness? But when you look up the definition of a martyr, it says a person who voluntarily suffers death as a penalty of a witness to the suffering or the refusing to renounce a religion. It wasn't until there were so many witnesses for Jesus that lost their life for standing up for the truth about Jesus that the word martyr became the definition that we have today. Are you willing to go on the stand, no matter what the cost? As Christians, we're called to witness, to communicate to this hostile world that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and He is alive today. Will your testimony help or hurt in what the world judges about our precious Lord Jesus? Not only are we to be a witness as individuals, but also as the body. Makes sense, right? If the Holy Spirit indwells us individually, He would indwell the whole body collectively, called the church. Listen to what Ephesians says. Ephesians 2:14, 22. It says, "For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in the place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And He came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father, so that when you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." Did you get that? There's peace now between the Jews and the Gentiles. There's no more tension between the two. No more ordinances dividing them. They are not a new man. And through Him, we have access to one Spirit under the Father, so that you grow together as a holy temple. Or in other words, just like our body individually is the temple of the Holy Spirit, so is the church body. It is also the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is indwelling the body of Christ, and He is the witness of the Father planted in the body, so that we not only minister as members, but as a whole body. The total body of Christ, the church universal, Isn't that why you get excited when you hear or see the testimony way across the world? A witness standing up for the truth of Jesus Christ? And we as a church are a part of that witness. How? By being one in the witness of Jesus Christ. Listen to Jesus' prayer in John 17:20 through 21. Jesus praying, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us. Why? So that the world may believe that you have sent me. The Holy Spirit indwells us so that our witness would be a witness of one. If the world could see us as one, in unity, that God sent His Son Jesus. The other way we are a witness as a group is found in John 13, 33-35. It says, Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Does everyone know you are a disciple of Christ? I mean, it's one thing to see it within our fellowship, but do outsiders see it? Does the world see it? Do people see it? John 15:26 through 27. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Do you see it more clearly? You and I are a witness of the Father. It comes from the Father through the Spirit, into us, out of us, and out of the body. It started with the Father, about the Son, through the Spirit, and we are part of this perfect plan to be a witness to our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ.